Wow. I went from an empty studio, just me, to a full studio representing the city of Bloomington is the interim city manager, Steve Rasmussen. And along with him, was this by design or?
Yeah. We knew you're here alone today, so we didn't want you to be caught alone. And we thought you might want to ask some questions about the meeting last night. So Jim Karch volunteered to come and bring me in since I had a flat tire.
Oh, man. I'll tell you, Bloomington Public Works Director Jim Karch joins us, too. Welcome all.
Let me just say it wasn't a pothole.
Get you on that mic.
Let me just say it wasn't a pothole, though, that caused the flat tire.
That's right.
Let's say that.
Well, you know, when we heard you had a flat tire, I went out and I told Eric, I said, hey, he's going to be late. He's got a flat tire. And Eric said the same thing I was thinking. Probably hit a pothole. Thing exploded.
I knew that'd be your first question. So I thought
now,
I'd say
now
that.
Before we get started, though, I have a grammar question for you.
Okay. Well,
I heard you this morning because you know I wake up every morning to Scott Laughlin about 4:30 in the morning, and you said that I was going to be here as a part of a plethora of guests, and so I was just wondering.
We have a slew of guests. I could use slew, plethora.
No, I like plethora, but I was wondering what is a part of a plethora. I was going to say a plethorita, and there's two of us here. So what's the plural of plethorita?
You're my two plethoritas today.
We're your two plethoritas, yep.
I'm an engineer, so I really don't know much about the...
I'm glad you used the word plethora.
Do some trash talking today, but now that Jim's here, I want to talk roads.
Yeah, okay.
Can we do both?
We could do both.
All right. Keep it down below he took up 8.5 minutes last night?
I gave him 10.
All right. Let's talk about potholes. We were riding in one of the cars, hit a pothole, and I think an expletive flew. And then my wife says, and there's another one, and she names. You guys have a phone number we can call, right?
That's right.
What is the phone number?
Okay, so citizens can contact 434-BUMP. It's very inventive, ingenious.
But I can never remember first three numbers.
All city numbers, office numbers are 434 and then BUMP. And that way you can call that, leave a message. We typically can respond even within 24 hours as long as it's just a pothole. The only times we can't respond quickly are whenever it's just, the whole street is shot. That's not something we're going to be able to fix overnight.
So, and another question for me, and I had this conversation with my wife, tooling down Emerson. The people who fill the potholes, it's just my opinion. I don't know squat. But I would think, don't fill them all the way to the point where they're crowning or they're above the surface of the street because, it's nice because the tires on the cars are going to flatten them out a little bit, but not enough. So now the snow plows are coming by, and I see it. I witness it after a snow. Bam! They just take the whole big chunk right out and do a little more damage, I imagine, to the concrete when they're doing it.
It's actually one of my pet peeves, and we've got some really great crew leaders that are, that consistently they'll do it the right way. Some of the issues come in whenever there's a substitute. Somebody's gone. You've got somebody different assigned. By nature, somebody that's not used to doing that might just, let's just fill it up. More is better, right? But in general, we've talked a lot about this on staff, about the benefit of keeping it low, cleaning out the hole, even making sure to compact it a little bit, because that material, if it's not compacted, pops out really quickly. So it can be good material if done right.
Do you have a position for an asphalt flattener? I would just follow these guys in a heavy truck
and run the
tires over it.
We do, but unfortunately, in our vacancy savings program, that's one of the positions that's not going to get filled.
I wanted to be an asphalt flattener.
By the way, I would like to talk, though, about streets a bit, because one of the things we had on last night was talking about street resurfacing. In all of the town hall meetings and the budget meetings that residents get together on, the number one issue is fix our streets. And the problem is the city engineer, and Jim will tell you, is we just don't quite have enough money to keep up with it. We've got motor fuel tax, which is about $2.3 million. And we got that sales tax last year, which is another $2.3 million. So we just can't get that graph up to level.
Sounds like a guy that wants to raise taxes.
So we said that last night. And that is, if you want to get the roads fixed on the long term, you've got to get another couple of million dollars in there dedicated to streets to fix them all the time to get that curve up a little bit above level so that you're making it improved for the long run. So it's always getting a little bit better rather than getting a little bit worse. And that's just the that's just the way it is.
Would you do it on your own, or would you wait for Normal to climb on board?
Well, I've talked to Normal about that, but we're going to try to do something to move forward to fix our streets. I hope that that's something we can do as part of this year's budget.
And as we travel down Veterans Parkway, and I just kind of want to remind people, that's not yours. Do you patch holes on Veterans, though?
No, the city of Bloomington does not take care of, you know, Veterans Parkway. You know, another big one is Clinton. If you drive down Clinton north of Oakland, between Oakland and Empire, that's another one that is a state route that most people are like, boy, you know, city of Bloomington, that road just does not look good. But it's not the city's to maintain. And so the, you know, Empire, Locust, a lot of those are different state routes, even Main Street Center. You know, you'll see those whenever they did that big ARRA resurfacing. The federal funding resurfacing back in, you know, the early 2010s, you know, it's already failing because it was just put over brick and it's already peeling in a lot of places.
Have you heard anything from the state on when they're going to address this? Can I get Dan Brady on this?
Yeah.
I mean, Main Street after this last snow, honestly, you know, there was a post on Facebook, and I don't know whether it was a joke. It may be a true story, where a guy was swerving and a cop pulled him over and asked him, you know, hey, you're crossing the center line, you're swerving left and right. I'm avoiding the potholes.
Yeah. Yep. I'll give Dan Brady, you know, Bill Brady, a lot of our different legislators, you know, Keith Sumner, we've met with a lot of those folks already, talked with them, Jason Berrickman, all of the, you know, all of our different local legislators we meet with. We've let them know our concerns on the state routes. They've all offered, how can we help? A lot of it is just state funding as well. We're in IDOT District 5, and they're one of the lowest funded per mile districts in the state of Illinois, our IDOT district. And so we, because of that, it has just been a struggle to get proper funding.
Why is that? Why are we one of the lowest in the state?
Well, and that's one of the things we've tried to talk about, to advocate for, along with Champaign-Urbana, Town of Normal. Whenever you look at that, that's been a real issue for the city of Bloomington. Now, we do have Empire, Locust, some of those major roads through town that are on the, you know, the near term, they're looking at starting to do the design and trying to resurface those. But there's a lot of others as well. I'll highlight Clinton because I think that's one of the worst roads in the community.
I guess I don't travel that one.
Oh, you'll need to, and you'll come back and say that you're right.
Wow. All right.
Well, Scott, let me ask you a question. Would you like to talk about the budget?
Yes. You spent 40 minutes talking about it last night. I was there. It was gripping. I was there for every minute of it.
I'm sure you were holding your breath. Well, here's the deal. We don't have an insurmountable problem. $3.9 million is a lot of money.
Whoa, it's 3.9 now?
I'm sorry, 2.9.
Oh, okay. Wow.
Is not. Right. I was going to say that's a lot of money, but in the size of a budget that we've got, it's certainly doable. And I want to thank the staff very much last night for going through and looking at each one of these. In November, the council, I think they challenged us to look at a number of different things that could close that 2.9 gap. And the staff went out and looked at them and came back with the items that could do it. So there are things in there that we can close that gap. Now, it isn't easy. And what it means is that there will be less things that will be done. There are some things that have to be taken out of the budget that we might like to do. Like Jim talked about taking some out of the streetlight program, but one of the things we got from the public when they have met in these different things is they just say, spend less money.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, well, that's one of the ways to do it, and we can close that. Okay, the difficulty though is it doesn't leave anything in the budget for capital programs like streets.
Diana Hallman brought it up again last night, privatizing garbage collection.
Yeah, I think that the council made a really significant step forward last night, and I give them credit for that because they asked us to come back to them with a resolution directing the staff to consider the options for outsourcing. And that's a significant step forward because what happens is now it's on the table and we can talk about it.
I think we've talked about it in the last couple of weeks, but Jim Karch, didn't you last night in your presentation or somewhere it came about, one of the options would be to remove a truck from the fleet of garbage collection, recycle? and work a couple of different shifts. You'd have a morning shift and an afternoon shift.
Yeah. See, we're really trying to think. There's three main options you can look at when you try to bridge a $1.1 million gap in our solid waste program. You can raise fees. You know, Town of Normal's looking at that. They're going to do it. Right? And so, you know, for us, you can also privatize or you can reduce the services that you provide. So last night, we spent a lot of time talking about if the council were to choose to reduce services, how could we do it? One of the options that was talked about is a split shift for automated garbage and recycling. So one of the most expensive pieces of that collection service is the equipment. Those automated vehicles cost anywhere from $325,000 to $360,000 for the dual arms. And so those are expensive pieces of equipment. And so if you are able to utilize that in, you know, longer, more hours in a day, you can get additional benefit. The downside is that they'll fall apart quicker. You'll have to replace them more quickly. But if you can reduce your fleet, even by, you know, one to four pieces of equipment. We have 12 automated trucks right now. Even if you were able to go down to eight, and not six, you know, you need some extras more than you normally would have. But even if you were able to drop four, well, three, let's just average it, $350,000 times four, you're at $1.4 million spread out over 5 years of a lease to pay them off. You know, you're in the range of $300,000 a year you're talking about savings. So there are some potential benefits there. Downsides. You know, you talk about some people are going to say, I don't want to hear a garbage truck going down the street at 10 o'clock at night. I'm ready for bed. I'm tired. I don't want to hear that arm coming out and picking it up.
Are you saying that they would go till 10 o'clock at night?
Well, let's throw that out there. So split shift means you have a regular shift from 6 a.m. to 2 p.m. or 7 a.m. to 3 p.m. And then you've got a second shift at, you know, 2 p.m. to 10 or 3 p.m. to 11 p.m.
Oh, wow.
And so, again, that gets late.
I'll tell you how that might happen, Scott. I'd go back and quote Curtis LeMay when he was the commander of the Strategic Air Command, and people would complain about those B-52s taking off from all these airports all around the country and the noise about it. And he said, "That's the sound of freedom."
Okay. Oh, I love it. Yeah. I just want to stand up and salute. That was beautiful. That was beautiful.
Well, let's go back and talk a little bit about what we were doing with the council, and that is the council had told me that early on in this process that what they wanted to see was they wanted to see the big picture early on. So we started in December, much earlier, and we started looking at those big things that affect the budget. There are 6 or 8 or 10 things that if you can make the decision on those, all the little things are going to fall into place. Now, we've got 600 pages worth of budget line items that we're going to get out, and the council is going to be able to see every one of those in a couple of months. But right now, what we're trying to do is look at those big pictures. Last night, one of the councilmen said to me, "I don't care how much paper you use in administration." And that's right. They don't want to look at those little things because you can cut those things out or you can change them around. But we take care of these big 6 or 8 things, and all the little things will fall into place.
All right. A couple other things talked about last night. Taking the bulk waste from every 2 weeks to twice a year, isn't that kind of – you're just trying to scare us now?
No.
Why not a compromise? Quarterly or why not –
If you want me to scare you, I can scare you. I'm not here to scare you. But what happens is we're one of the few cities. I mean, I could probably name out of 3,000 municipalities, list them on my fingers on my right hand, the number of cities that do what we do. Everybody, and you know, 99.9% of the time, do something like that, where you pick up, have a spring pickup and a fall pickup. You have a free drop-off, and we'll come to your house. We'll pick up that sofa. We'll pick up a lot of junk in front of your neighbor's house if you want to. You just have to pay for it.
Sure. You know what? I have no problem with that. I see, especially when the students leave, all the crap in front of some of these places, and I'm helping pay for that. Well, I shouldn't have to. Somebody else should. So yeah, I have no problem. If they're going to remove a couch or something or take an extra bucket full, I'll pay my $25. I'll just be a little more stringent in what I put at the curb.
And one of the things you can do is people are smart. They'll figure this out. If we do a spring and a fall pickup, you'll put your stuff out in the spring and the fall. And if you have something intermediarily that you'd like to do, you and your neighbors will get together and say, let's have a pickup here next week, and you'll all put your stuff together, and you'll each chip in your $5 and have it picked up. we'll figure out how to do it.
There's an idea. You know, and Jim, off the air, you mentioned it, and it's absolutely true. I left a wicker chair and a vacuum cleaner out at the curb waiting for to be picked up, and within minutes, the vacuum cleaner was gone.
Yeah, that's right. Somebody will get it.
They left the wicker chair. So if I have that wicker chair...
I need a wicker chair.
It was probably you picking it up.
Well, the wicker chair is not much good because I sat on it once and bam.
Oh, yeah, I know. You're working on your weight control.
So, yeah.
I know that.
So now, but there is some concern. Imagine if you do that, people dumping things, dumping that mattress or dumping the couch out in the middle of the country. It's unintended, you know.
Well, one of the things that you really look at is we really hope that most people will say, hey, if I'm going to load something, if I can put let's say I'm going to dump a chair. So if I'm going to dump a chair, if I can fit it into my vehicle, we're going to have expanded hours. If the council moved forward in that and we just reduced service level, we'd have expanded hours of the drop-off. If you're going to haul it out to the country, haul it to the drop-off and take it for free.
Well, there you go.
Sure.
That makes sense.
And then the other thing, of course, is what we do is we would increase our enforcement for illegal dumping. And, you know, the people would also get the message on that. When people say, how would you do that? Well, you know, there's 99.9% of the communities out there figured out how to do that. We'll certainly figure it out, too.
All right. When it comes to picking up brush, certainly, you're going to allow crews to go out after storms and help us out when we lose branches and limbs and stuff.
Yeah, we've had that happen. I've done that in previous jurisdictions when I was a city manager, and we would have a storm. And what we would do is we would waive the fees for pickup during that period of time and send the crews out to do all the pickup.
All right. Is anybody thinking or touching leaf collection?
Leaf collection is one of the one of the areas that our crews do. Our solid waste crews do the leaf collection every year. We do a great job of it. You know, we add extra leaf vacs on the streets, and so we'll go out and we'll make sure to provide a high service level. But, yeah, that is one of the areas that different communities look at leaf collection, sometimes with bags, sometimes with limited times and when they can put it out. Right now, we have been focusing a lot of the attention on saying, if the council impacts bulk and brush and we look at that service level, then we'll see how do we best do leaf collection. That's more of that limited window. You know, how are we going to – we can make that happen. It's just going to be whatever decision is made. I think leaf collection will fit into that puzzle piece when they make that decision.
Because a former city manager, I won't mention any names, brought it up, and I don't know whether it was tongue-in-cheek or there was a little truth to what he was saying. I live in a neighborhood. There's three trees on my block. We don't do any raking of leaves, but, you know, you live in the old neighborhoods like I do,
yeah.
And I've got leaves 50 yards down the curb or in the grass.
That's right.
50 yards in the grass and 5 feet high.
Now, the thing is that it's not just leaves, branches. There's a lot of the trees that are in the public right-of-way. They're city trees. You know, they're considered your trees, but they're city trees. And so those branches that fall, we want to make sure to accommodate that, the leaves that come off that. So we understand that's really important for people.
All right. So you, Mr. Rasmussen, got the ball rolling with the budget last night. What's the next step?
Yeah. Well, that's a great question because we need to keep moving. So we were at one of the town hall meetings, and one of our aldermen said, this isn't tough. It's like when you sit around the kitchen table and you've got more bills than you've got money to pay in. You've either got to get rid of some of the bills by reducing your expenditures, or you've got to get more income. And he just said, and so we just have to make some tough decisions. So what we've done now is the council challenges to find those areas that we could used to balance the budget, and we put those back out last night, and so now it's time to just make the tough decisions, and we made a first step last night. Alderman Howman said, well, what do we want to do? Do we want to start, you know, walking through these one at a time? And, in fact, that's what they did. They took on solid waste. That was the biggest item, the first thing on the list, and we talked about that. And now we'll just start walking down the list, working on those, and we asked the council to come back to us with their decisions on what they would like to do, and we'll do that at the next two council meetings and see if we get some decisions on these big six or eight items.
Our last council meeting, a gentleman, forgive me, I can't remember his name, stepped up to the podium with an idea to put a hotel in downtown Bloomington. He said he'd have papers on your desk within like 10 days. Was that the case?
It was.
Can you talk about it?
He did. And our Department of Community Development, our interim director there, Bob Mart, and our director of economic development, Austin Grammer, have those that paper in the hand now, and we're going to work on it.
That's all you can say?
Well, that's all because he had confidential written on it, and so.
Oh, okay.
I'll say along.
Can I ask you this? Or did you look at it? What kind of attitude did you have going in, thinking, this is going? Did he surprise? Did it surprise you? Is it something that maybe really opened your eyes?
Well, it's not a surprise because when he talked at the council meeting there, a couple of council meetings ago, he gave us an idea of what it was going to look like. Yeah. So he was talking about doing something near the arena. So that's where he's going with that. And that's certainly one of those options out there that we've got.
When do you think we'll hear more?
You know, kind of about 90 days or so, we'll look at it. We'll get back to him and we'll talk about it and see if there's any light at the end of that tunnel.
All right. Well, good luck with the budget. And I know you're cutting from departments. And does Jim get some special compensation because he saved you from the horrors of changing a flat tire and getting you here on time?
I like that. That's good thinking.
You got to cut him a break?
No, because he just got me here. I got to go change that flat tire.
Oh, do you even know how? We talk about this all the time. I have never even explored how to change a flat tire in my car.
One of my specialties.
All right. Time him.
Eight and a half minutes, that's right.
Get your stopwatch out on your iPhone.
He's only going to give me 8.5 minutes.
Like on A Christmas Story.
Oh, boy.
Yep.
All right. Hey, good seeing you guys.
Good seeing you,
nice
too.
Job on the snow removal. Mother Nature helps, huh?
Our crews,
got it all out.
Crews do a great job. We're appreciative of it.
All right. Thanks, guys. Good
Always
seeing
a pleasure.
And we'll see you in a few weeks, right?
You will.
All right.
Thanks.